Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
As you would know if you were here last week, if not, please go and listen to the podcast. But I have started, I want to call it a series or a couple of messages that'll just tag on one another around sonship, living a life of royalty. And I kicked that off last week and just touched on two scriptures, Genesis 1, 26 to 31, where God says to man, he creates man, and then he says to man, go and be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and dominate it. This is the original plan of God. It's the original plan of God. That's what he had for Adam and Eve. That's what he had for mankind. But of course, Adam and Eve come along. They eat the fruit of from the forbidden tree, and they lose that. But God does not leave them high and dry. He does not leave mankind high and dry, because basically, he sends Jesus. That was his plan. Jesus was going to come along. And Jesus goes through the death, the resurrection, and he's about to ascend, but he meets the disciples, and he says this in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came up to them and said to them, to the disciples, and said to them, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey me, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy and Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of age. What does he do? He reestablishes the initial plan that Father God had to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subjugate it. He reinstates that. He is calling you and I higher. He's calling us home. He's calling us to live a life of royalty as sons and as daughters. And this is, we finished last week on this, a promise from Matthew 28, 20, where he says, I'm with you always, always, remaining with you perpetually in a way that never ends or changes. He's with us in a way that never ends or never changes, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. So this week I want to continue, but I want to talk this week about the orphan mindset versus sonship, because we are sons and daughters, but unfortunately we are living with this orphan. Many believers, maybe not you, maybe not us at the East, you never know, but we are living, the believers live with this orphaned mindset. So our Bible reading, if you've got your Bibles this morning, I'd love you to open to John chapter 14, and we will be reading from verses 16 to 17. I do have the Amplified on the back screen. The Amplified is always about amplification. It's about making it a little bit more detailed. So I'm going to read from there, but if you can follow in your Bible and keep your Bible open, because we're going to be flicking back to John chapter 13, and I'm going to give you a bit of context. So I'll read verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Say to your neighbor, another comforter. Another comforter, being a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, advocate, a strengthener, and a standby person, that he may remain with you forever. Say forever. Comforter forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, or take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. Verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you. Another translation says it this way in verse 18. I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. There we have it. We have the word orphan is in the Bible. According to scholars, it's used twice in the New Testament and over 70 times in the Old Testament. The word is there. We talk a lot about sonship, sons, but there is this thing that even Jesus referred to, an orphan. So the context of this scripture, which is always important that we need to read scripture in context, goes back to John 13, verse 3. And I'm going to read a couple of verses, if you can just skip and follow with me, because you'll hear where we are going. You see, Jesus is preparing his team. He's preparing his disciples for his departure from this earth. In John 13, 33, he says, "Dear friends, I only have a brief time left to be with you." This is a warning. I only have a brief time to be with you. Verse 36 says, "Where I am going, you won't be able to follow. But," verses 14, verse 1 says, "Don't worry or surrender to your fear." Everybody say, "your fear." It's not God's fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. This is fear belongs to you. It's your fear. Don't worry or surrender to your fear. Verse 2, "I go to prepare a place for you to rest." Verse 16, 14, verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another comfort." And then our verse 18, "I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you." Jesus in this preparation is not referring to the end times, which makes people think, well, what if he's going now? What happens to me until he comes back? He's not referring to the end time. He's not referring to the book of Revelation. He's actually referring to his coming in the person of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Comforter." This is what Jesus is referring to. So it's important to realize that Jesus prepares the disciples for this season that they're about to enter into, where he goes, but the Comforter comes. Clearly in Scripture, there's a reason why the Comforter comes, so that we can continue walking in our sonship. There is this concept in the Bible of being an orphan or living with an orphan mentality and son or daughter. Sonship. So when I talk about sonship, I'm not talking about gender, right? It's being a child of God. So I want to start off this morning by answering one question. Who was the first son on this planet? The answer is Adam. The first son was Adam. Let's make it legal. I can give you scripture for this, because in the scripture in Luke verse 3, from 23 to 38, you read about the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now, we're not, for time's sake, going to read through the genealogy of Jesus, but it is a little bit of light reading that you can do tonight before you go to bed. But I will read a couple of scriptures. Is that all right? Okay, it's okay to laugh, throw rotten tomatoes late. No, I'm going to kid in. All right. So, verse 23. "Now, Jesus saw himself was about 30 years old, and when he began his ministry, he was the son. So it was thought of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathat." Now we jump all the way down. It goes on and on and on. The son of. Then we get to verse 37. "The son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan." Imagine you named your son that, Mahalalel. "The son of Canaan," verse 38. "The son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God." There it is in scripture. Adam was the first, God's first son. He was created by God. In other words, God was his father. He walked with God in the cool of the day. He enjoyed open fellowship and communion with Father God. But he comes and he chooses to disobey God, to disobey Father, and obey Satan. He eats the fruit from the forbidden tree, which results in immediate separation from God. That's what happened. Consequence was, for his choice, was immediate separation from God. And through this, Adam gives up what? He gives up his sonship. He gives up his sonship and acquires the status of an orphan. In other words, he was now fatherless. Because when you go and look at the definition of orphan is a child who has lost one or both parents through death. The death that Adam and Eve experienced was the immediate separation from God. The Greek word, orphanos, means a child whose parents have died. And this is the word that Jesus uses in John 14, verse 16. Now, we all know, and I've harped on this a number of times, and I really spelled it out a bit more last week, that Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father, okay? Over the centuries, nothing changed for Father God. As I said to you right in the beginning, his plan never changed. And as we heard last week, Jesus comes to reveal the heart of the Father. He reveals the Father's love. He reveals the Father's provision. He reveals the Father's protection. He reveals the Father's comfort. He reveals the Father's family. Who knows? Those are all characteristics of a father. Yes? He reveals that there is no longer, listen to this, any need to be an orphan. Very quiet. He revealed, there's no need to be an orphan anymore. You see, it's the Father's heart to be reconciled to his creation. As he says in 2 Corinthians 6:16, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. He says it. This is Father. In other words, he still chooses you and I to be sons and daughters. He chooses. He makes the choice. And he chooses to be our Father. It's a question. So where does the problem lie? Does the problem lie with God? The answer there to that would be no. Does the problem lie with us, with man? And the right answer is actually yes. Why? Why does it lie with us? You see, because although he chooses us as sons and daughters, we choose to not walk and live and be as a son or as a daughter of God. It's choice. Life is all about choices. Although as believers, we are not orphans, however, many believers still live with an orphaned mindset. And the sad thing about it is that we don't realize it. I know. Been there, done that. And I'll tell you a little bit of my testimony a little bit later. We don't realize that as believers, the one who Jesus gave the power and the authority and said, go, all power, all authority that is on heaven, in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. He sends us with that power and authority. We don't realize this. We don't realize that we're still walking around with this orphaned mindset. Now, this could be one of the reasons why Romans 12:2 is given to us, which says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, seeing we are no longer part of this world, we have to stop being shaped and molded by this world. Seeing that we are no longer part of this world, we have to stop being similar or identical or behave according to the usual standards of this world. No. We have to be transformed. The word, the Greek word there is metamorpho, which means to change into another form. We have to be changed into another form. How? By the renewing, and that word is anakainosis, which means renovation. By the renovation, by the complete change for the better of our minds. In other words, we need to shift from thinking, from living as an orphan, to living as a son. It's all a mindset change. It's all a mindset change. So what I would like to do today is just have a look. Well, JJ, you're talking about the orphan mindset. Let's have a look. Because you know what? We don't know, and we don't until we know. We don't know until we understand. So I believe that after today, you will know, you will understand, and you'll be able to go, oh, even identify. Hold on, wait a minute. We're not orphans. We're sons and daughters. I didn't say this in the first service, but the reality is that Pauline and I pull one another up on a pretty regular basis. Hold on, wait a minute. What thinking is that? That's not the thinking of a son, or that's not thinking of a daughter. We pull our kids up on that as well. Wait a minute. That's not how we think in this house. We've got to think differently. What are we doing? We're renewing our minds. Anyway, So I want to have a look a little bit at the orphan mindset. You see, is this okay? Okay. Believers who fail to fully understand the promises and character of God often operate with a different mindset. If we don't fully understand, if we don't fully comprehend the promises and character of God, that we can think as sons and daughters, we choose to think with a different mindset. It's just the logic. So you see, some tend to see God as a mean, as a stingy, as an angry, as an unforgiving and quick to punish kind of God. That was me. That was me. Essentially, what happens is they don't really realize, and I didn't really realize, that having a heavenly Father, this means He's loving and He's forgiving and He's powerful and He's provider and He is just and He is understanding. He is ultimately love. So it's this thinking of Him that we need to change in our mindsets. It's the thinking of how we perceive Him that we got to change in our mindset. You see, because an orphan mindset stunts a believer's spiritual growth. I had a gentleman after the first service come up to me. He's a senior. He's a senior. I reckon he would be, I won't say the age precisely, but he's over 70. And says to me, you know what? I totally understand and agree with you that having that mindset stunts the spiritual growth. I never realized it until a number of years ago, and then I realized how much I had lost because I was living with that mindset. 70. I look across this place and I go, there's a couple of young ones sitting in this place right now. Another good-looking young man up there, sportsman. And I go, if our younger generation get this concept, can you imagine where the world will be in 20 years' time? I'm off track. Let's get back. A negative view of God's parental role causes believers to constantly live in fear. And fear leads to us feeling rejected. Leads to us feeling overlooked. Leads to us feeling punished. Leads to us feeling judged. Fear cripples our walk and causes us to lack in confidence towards God and therefore lack in confidence in our own lives. Fear. Fear is the key ingredient of an orphaned mindset. You see, an orphan mindset uses control and manipulation to attempt to feel safe and secure and get their own needs met because they are driven by fear. God has not given us a spirit of. The enemy is the one. He's the father of lies and the father of fear. If he can get us gripped with fear, he knows he's got us just there. The majority of the stuff that I prayed for the people down the front here was about fear. God led me that way. Because we need to break off the spirit of fear. Because when we get rid of the spirit of fear, it opens us to start living as sons and daughters. You see, the lies an orphan mindset foster is this: I need to work hard to be accepted. I need to do to be. Young ones, listen to me today. Parents, you go back to your teenagers. I've got to do to be able to become something in this world. No. As a son and a daughter of God, you are already something. You are His son. You are His daughter. You don't have to do to become something. Society continuously talks about, you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. And I'm not saying, don't go and study. I'm not saying that you've got, that you apply for that promotion. I'm not saying that. But it's out of you knowing who you are that you then apply for promotion. It's out of you, when you know who you are, that you go to university. It's out of who you are that you apply for that job and you walk in the favor of God. Another mindset that we foster as an orphan is, I'm not loved, I'm just used. And I have to repent today on behalf of the church. I had another conversation in the foyer. So many of people today are walking around with church hurt. And I really pray and trust that that will never happen at Yuma East. It will never happen in Yuma, full stop. It shouldn't happen in the kingdom, full stop. So I repent. If that's you, I am sorry on behalf of the church. You are loved. You are worthy. You belong right here in this place because God has called you and destined you. I love what Bull Johnson says. Bull Johnson says, if I look at you, I need to honor you because if God honors you by allowing His Spirit to live in you, who am I to think and talk differently about you? Let's talk about the gossip. No. There shouldn't be a spirit of gossip. Because when I look at you, I should see you through the eyes of God. And I should respect the fact that God resides in you. The Almighty One resides in you. Therefore, I honor you as He honors you. Life would be so different. Society would be so different. You are loved. Another mindset that we fight is, I need to fight to succeed because if I don't fight, someone will take my place. I don't belong. You know what I don't belong does? It leads to isolation. I was a confused young man just because of the sexual abuse that I went through. I didn't know where I fitted into society. I didn't even know if I fitted into society. What happened? I isolated. The danger was that because I was in the police, I isolated with my pistol right next to me. How many times didn't I contemplate using that to end it all? Many. The enemy wants us isolated. The enemy wants us to get to a place where we feel like we don't belong. I want to declare today in this place, you belong. You belong here. This is where you should be. This is where you should be. But we also need you from your side to make an effort to come to us. Go to Pastor Simone afterwards. Go to the information booth. Give us your name. Give us your number so that we can get you in the life group, so that we can look after you, so that we can journey with you, so that we can help you walk as sons and as daughters. Amen? Amen? All right, that sounds better. And orphan mindsets are followed by orphan-like behaviors. Fear. We act out of fear. We act out of jealousy, out of anger, out of competition, overprotective, self-hate. And so we can go on. And you know what? There's some characteristics that an orphan mindset carries is that there's an unbelief that God forgave your former sins. It's not biblical. He forgives everything. If we think that God has not forgiven our former sins, guess what? For Jesus to go to the cross, to go through all what He went through, for His body to be broken into smithereens, that His lungs and His insides were hanging out, for you to be crucified on the cross and to die for your sins, and then you're saying He has not forgiven your former sins, what are you doing? You are denying the pain that He went through and the sacrifice that He made for you. No. There's a line. You give your life to Jesus. This is the life before Jesus. You give your life to Jesus. You ask Him, hey, forgive me of my sins. You step over. Guess what? The sin is, they remain there. They are under the blood of Jesus. Now, do we struggle? Yes, we struggle. But thank goodness we've got Holy Spirit with us. Holy Spirit goes where we go. Holy Spirit guides us. Holy Spirit leads us. Holy Spirit helps us be the son and daughter that God wants us to be. Another thing, you feel you need to try to make things happen on your own. That is so orphan. What does an orphan do? An orphan's got to look after themselves. An orphan who does not have parents has to look after themselves, be that physically, be that spiritually, be that emotionally, because there's nobody to turn to. I say to you, that is a lie out of hell. You know what? You have got God on your side. He is with you constantly, because my Bible says to me that when you accept Him, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit, because it's through the Holy Spirit that you receive salvation. And then you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you start speaking in tongues. But you know what? You don't have to wait for that to have the Holy Spirit. You have Holy Spirit right here at salvation before you step over that line. Holy Spirit's already busy in your life. This is the lies that the enemy brings that robs us of our sonship. But God is a good God. He's a good Father. Amen. Say to your neighbor, God is a good God. Slap your other neighbor and say, God is a better God for you than what you think. And if their neighbor was sleeping, pinch him. But God is a good God. God is a good God. He is a good Father. You and I do not comprehend in our little futile minds how good He is. Because the way that we look at God, our Father, is the way that we look at our earthly father. And you know what? If I look at my earthly father and I mirror that to God the Father, hey, there's no... If I see him the way I see my earthly dad, then, yeah, he's not a good dad. But that's not how he is. Again, that's a lie of the enemy. Yep, that's a lie of the enemy. Because he is a good God beyond comprehension. Now, even right back into the Old Testament, in the Old Testament law, the Jews had a very legalistic understanding of God. They believed they had to work to earn His love. Guess what? That mentality has carried over right into the 21st century. Apostle Paul, he initially had it twisted. Now, he's the one that wrote the majority of this book in the New Testament. But even he had a twisted understanding of God, which led him to kill Christians. He persecuted and killed Christians. Why? He didn't understand that the heart transformation was more important than the holy actions. Hear me, Numa East. Hear me, family. Hear me. If you're visiting today, welcome. Welcome to Numa East. Welcome to this fiery South African. Hear me today. I am passionate because you know why? It's not about coming here on a Sunday and raising your hands and walking out the door and living the same lifestyle. It's about a transformation of the heart. He needs it to go from here to here. If it's here, it's knowledge. If it's here, it's transformation and it becomes a lifestyle. I know because I have lived that life, and I'll tell you more a little bit later. Well, that's my next point. Look at that. Apostle JJ. Yeah, that's my office. Don't call me apostle, but that's who I am. I've got Apostle Paul. You got Apostle JJ. I just thought I should put that in there, yeah? Yeah, why not? I lived with an orphan mindset. I lived with an orphan mentality for many years. I was a Christian. I was a son. I was a husband to one wife. I'm still a husband to one wife. I was a father. I was a friend. I was a pastor. But you know what? God pursued me as He did Paul to win my heart. He had me. I was a Christian. I'd stepped over the line. I was a Christian. I was a pastor. To be honest with you, I've been in ministry 23 years. And I shudder at the thought of what I did in the first 20, because I led from an orphan mentality. Oh, my gosh, that's a bit of a pity. Yeah, I did. Unfortunately, that's just how it was. But you see, God pursued me. He pursued me to win my heart. He pursued me so that it would go from here to here. How did that happen? Well, I went to Bethel. Paulina reminded me first service, it was 10 years ago. Well, not 9 years ago. And you know what? I sat in a similar teaching as this that I'm giving today, and I had the truth hit my heart. It hit my heart and it changed my spirit. It set something stirring. It set something on fire. And from that moment, I started seeking, what does it really mean to be a son? And with Haro, I realized I had not been living a life as a son. I'd been living a life as an orphan. In the way I lived, the way I spoke, the way we handled finances, the way, you know, everything, in every aspect. But all of a sudden, it's like the scales fell off my eyes. And I started seeking. The key word is seeking. What does the Bible say? Seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these other things will be added. Seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah? It was in the seeking that my mind started being renewed. It was in the seeking that the idea of sonship became a concept, which then became a lifestyle. It was first an idea, then it started taking place, and then it became a lifestyle. It was in the seeking that the renewing happened. And it was in the seeking that I found more of the truth. I found more truth in the seeking. And through the finding of the truth that I started renouncing the lies. I started choosing not to partner with the lie, but to partner with the truth. And that's what we got to do, church. That's what we got to do. You know what? God hates sin. Yes? Five of us. God hates sin. Yes? We're in agreement. Good. But you know what? He loved me despite my mistakes. Foreign concept. For a couple of people sitting here. We think that when we stuff up, he's about to abandon us and he's about to leave us. And he's about to... No. That's not the God that we serve. You see, he knew my heart. And he knew my weaknesses. My word says to me, he knows every hair on my head. They're falling out slowly, but he does. He says they know. He knows every hair on my head. He knows every fiber in my being. He knitted me together. You reckon he didn't know the mistakes and the struggles that I would go through? But you know what? He never abandoned me. He never chose to leave me and go, oh, I've tried with you, JJ. Off you go. Get on with your life. He never did that. And he will never do that because that's out of his character. He's a loving God. You see, I clung on to him. I walked the journey. I had little faith. I was crying. I was snotting. I was ugly crying. I was terribly snotting, ugly crying. I was everything of the above. Oh, God, I've done this again today. And you know what? I got off the floor and he walked with me and he revealed another level of his goodness, another level of his goodness. You see, my God, my walk with God taught me that God is committed to being a father for me. Hello. He is committed to being a father for you. One of the scriptures I read this morning was, I will be your father. He's committed to be your father. It's not a maybe if you behave yourself, if you give your tithe and your offering, none of that. He's committed. He's so good. He is so good. So, and nothing was too big for us. Not for me. For us. Because we're journeying together. Yeah? So I can't talk about me. It's about us. Nothing was too big for us. Because he gives us another promise. In 1 Corinthians 10:30, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. It's common to mankind. All mankind. Say to your neighbor, you too. Mankind. You're mankind? Or are you superhuman? No, you're not. You're mankind. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. Say to your neighbor, he is faithful. He will not let you be tempted. Here it comes. Oh, I'm so tempted. No. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. I can't do this. Yes, you can. I don't know how. He will help you. It says it here, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God, take it away from me. No, he'll make a way that you can endure it. you can get through it. How do I defeat the orphan mindset? It's a good question. Was it easy? No, it wasn't. But it wasn't difficult either. You're contradicting yourself. It was not easy because I had to change the mindset. But as I was changing the mindset, it wasn't difficult either. Because I realized I wasn't walking alone. I was walking with Him. This is what we need to realize. We're never walking alone. We're never, never, never walking alone. Somebody said to me, does God mind if I go into a pub? I went, no, don't think so. He goes with you though. He's aware of what you do, what you watch, what you say, what you drink, what you smoke, what you snort. Just keep that in mind. Doesn't say at the door and go, okay, just hold on, JJ, I'll wait here at the door. You go in, have fun, and then when you come out, you pick. No, it doesn't do that. He goes in with me. Doesn't matter where I go. A lot of stuff I've said here that I didn't say in the first service here, but I feel somebody needs to hear it. You ask, what is the key to breaking an orphan spirit? Good question. Renew your mind. You were waiting for the six steps to, no, just renew your mind. Renew your mind and the orphaned spirit will break off of you. Renew your mind. Get this into here, which then goes into here. And get, believe me, there will be a change. Because right now, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what you're going through, right now you are standing, you are in right standing with God. Really? Mm-hmm. Let me give you the scripture, 1 Peter 2:9. Write this one down. This is one you all need to declare. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Hold on, let's start that again. You are a chosen people. You are a chosen, 1 Peter 2:9, write it down, declare it. I am a chosen people. I am a royal priesthood. I am a holy nation. I am God's special possession. Then it goes on to say that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Who here knows that He has called you out of darkness? Be real. Every hand should be raised. He has called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. So, what's the key to breaking the orphan spirit? Renew your mind. How? Good question. What did I do? I'm only giving you a lot of this. Doesn't come out of a book. This comes out of my own journey. What did I do? Number one, I read the Bible. It's a good place to start. This book is the lamp unto your feet. This is the book. Young lads, young ladies, listen to what I say. You want to hit success? You want to be successful? Put God first. Read this. Create the foundation. Form the foundation. Mums and dads, if there's anything that you can give your kids, any legacy, any heritage, if you came to me and said, what advice can I give to my kids? Get your kids to read the Bible. Buy them a version that they can read. Don't go and buy them the New King James Version. Seriously. How many of you read the New King James Version? I love. This is my go-to. The Passion. Passion Translation. Simple. Now, some people say it's not the word. You know what? It's simple. It's understandable. We brought all of our kids. One of these. They read it. They understand it. That's what matters to me. When they turn 36, I might buy them a New King James Version or something to that effect. You never know. But read the Bible. The Word of God is active, and as you read, God will use it to defeat any lies you believe. Replacing the lies with the truth. You see, He will show you His character and your identity in Him. The second thing that I did, you're a son and a daughter of God. Yep, it's going to come up on the screen. Live as a son and a daughter of God. Live as a son and a daughter of God. You see, there's nothing that God holds back. Psalm 84:11 says, He withholds no good thing from those who walk with integrity. Linger in His presence. You see, identity is found through encounter. Okay, no reaction. Identity is found through encounter. What do I mean by that? Why do we linger longer here? Why do we have ministry time here? Because it's in the time of lingering that you find your identity in Him. At college, I led college. You've heard me tell this. I led college on the Gold Coast. Did the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry curriculum. And you know what? We had a lot of carpet time. Not lying and sleeping and snoozing and soaking in His presence. No, no, no. On our faces, we had snot piles. I had to pay, I don't know how much, every term to get the carpets cleaned for the next term. But you know what? I didn't mind the amount of money I paid, because as the students came and they snotted and they cried on the carpet, guess what? When they rose again, their orphaned mindset stayed on the carpet and they stood up as sons and daughters of God. Their lives have been transformed for all eternity because of those carpet times. Now, you don't have to come here to have your linger time. You can have your linger time at home in the morning when you are having your prayer time. And I want to say, my routine in the morning is I get up, priorities, coffee machine on, computer open, speaker on, soft, soaking worship, playing. Go back, do the routines, shower, shave, and all those kind of things while the music. What's it doing? It's setting the atmosphere. I finish that. I come in here, make the coffee, of course. Then I go and sit and say, good morning. Let's pray. Let's talk. And then I start praying, and I start speaking to Father. I converse. But there's times that I don't even converse. There's times that I just linger. There's times that I just sit there. There's times I lie on the floor and I do soak. And I just let the music wash over. But that's lingering, because it's in the lingering. It's in the encounter that you find your identity. The third thing, you accept the promises of God. Accept the promise. This book is filled with promises. You know what? One of the promises that is the most known promise that very few believers use is the promise of His peace that goes beyond all understanding. Oh, my life is chaos. Oh, all these things are happening. I don't know what's to happen. Well, you've been given the peace. So let's use the peace. Let's choose the peace over the chaos. How do we do this? Well, I wrote down a couple of things. You say something along these lines. Today, I choose your peace in my chaotic world. Today, I choose your peace in my finances. Today, I choose your peace in my relationship. Today, I choose your peace in my work. Let your peace saturate every fiber of my being as I leave this home today. Now, the world could still be chaos. It could still be the storm. But you're walking in peace. It's true. We know, 22 weeks of no salary, 22 weeks. We have never been at peace like we were in those 22 weeks. And this was this is before starting here at Yuma. In trusting Him, God, where are you going? God, hello, God, are you there? Yes, you are there. Okay, great. God, where are we going? Can you tell me? No? Sally was saying today, 11th hour. I know all about the 11th hour. Anybody else know about the 11th hour? I know a few of us. 11th hour is real. You know, he only comes through at 99.9999. But 22 weeks, we were back and forth. 22 weeks. But we walked in peace. So much peace. I didn't know where we were going to, how we were going to pay rent. I didn't know how we were going to buy food. I did not know these things. But He provided. He showed me He was a good Father. He showed us. He showed our children He was a good Father. Accept the promises of God. Get declarations like this book right here. Highly recommended. I do not get a cutback if you buy it. Just buy from Kurong. King's Decree. Very good friend of ours. Went through hell and back. She has Crohn's disease. Very, very sick woman. This is her testimony. And how she decreed King's Decree. How she decrees the King's Decree over her life. I'll share some. Some that might even feel as if they are for today. I will receive divine payback for all the enemy has stolen. Anybody want that one? Okay, I see a couple of hands. I increasingly walk in victory and authority in the areas I have been attacked, and I release this to others. I am walking in authority, upgrades, and increase. God redeems all things in my life. Isn't that a good one? God redeems all. That is a prophetic word. God redeems all things in my life. I declare that right now. God redeems all things in my life. I say yes to every promise God has for my life. I am his harvester and I am his sent one. What am I saying? I'm declaring that every single promise that's in here, I say yes to. Is this good? All right, let me tell you another one. I trust you, God, even when I don't understand or see a way forward. 22 weeks, I declare that. I trust you, God, even when I don't see a way, I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on, and I don't see a way forward, but I trust you. I choose you. I decree disappointment is broken in the name of Jesus. I speak that out to a number of people here. My trust is not dependent on my own understanding, but on knowing that you are a good and faithful God. Great. Every chapter has got a declaration. Now, you can get declarations all over. What's his name from Bethel? Steve Backlund. Steve Backlund, write this name down. Go on, type in Steve Backlund. He's got hundreds of declarations. Scripture, that you declare scripture. There's so many good declarations. But you know what? What are you doing? You're accepting and speaking out his promises. A guy from Canada, he was reading through the Bible and for the 27th time in a year and a half, and he says this. As he was reading, he was writing down all the promises. He came to the grand total of 8,810 promises in the Bible. That's pretty good. That's something to get excited about, but it gets even better. 7,487 of them were being promises made by God to mankind. To mankind, to you and to me. 7,487. People, take 10, just 10. Make them your own. Your life will never be the same again. Imagine if you take all 7,487, how your life is then going to be. Bring it on. That is living the life and the life of abundance. Can I have the team up, please? Surround, the fourth point and my last point, is surround yourself with wise counsel. Surround yourself with wise. This is biblical, people. It's biblical. It's because the Bible says, you know what? You're not created to be alone. We're not meant to be uno in this life. We are meant to be in community. If you are alone right now, guess what? God is saying to you, you need community. You need to belong. The Bible says that we need mentors and wise counsels to do what? To guide us. Here's a bit of a tip. Skip all the pain. Skip all the disappointment. How? By hearing and listening and learning from the mistakes and the victories of people that have gone before you. You need a mentor. Young people, hear me today. You need a mentor. Get a mentor. I wish I could mentor everybody. I can't. But there's somebody in your life that you need to get alongside you. A man with wisdom, a woman with wisdom. Just go alongside them and say, I need a mentor. Can you mentor me? Can you help me? You see, because at the end of the day, why do we do this? We do this so that we can renew our minds. We do this so that we can renew our minds. Amen? I hope you've got something from this today. But we're not finished yet. Because what I want to do today, what I want to do this morning, this afternoon, is I want to do this. I want to pray a prayer and renounce the orphan spirit in your life, over your life, over your family, over your lineage, over your generations past, and the generations to come. Now, I'm not going to ask you to stand up individually, because I believe all of us, somewhere along the lines, we have embraced and walked in the orphan mindset. What I'm going to do, I'm going to ask the team if they can just dim the lights, and I'm going to ask us all to stand. And as we stand, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you, would like you to pray this prayer out aloud. Don't worry about the person next to you or behind you, but pray this prayer out aloud so that you can hear this and so that the enemy can hear this as well. Is that a deal? So if we can all be upstanding at this point in time, team's going to just be playing in the background. Why don't we get into a posture of receiving? Posture of receiving is having your hands open as if you're about to receive a gift. I really do believe that a gift is about to be released. I do believe as well that Chains are going to be broken off today. Shackles are going to be broken off today. Mindsets are going to start to be renewed today. Today there's breakthrough in this house. Jesus is breakthrough. So let's pray this prayer after me out loud. Abba Father, thank you for being my Father. I choose to renounce the lies of fear, rejection, pride, self-hate, doubt, unworthiness, and lack in my life, because I know they are all defeated by Jesus. I invite you to heal my heart and the orphan mindset that I may have. Help me to confidently approach you in intimacy. Thank you for always paving a way for us to be close to you, Lord. I declare you are a good father. I declare you are a good father to me. You saw the gold in me when I couldn't even see it myself. I am your unique and beautiful masterpiece. I am thankful that you created me the way I am. Thank you that you guide me. Thank you that you protect me. Thank you that you teach me. Thank you that you discipline me and bless me. I want to learn how to love you more every day. Help me to be more like you. Thank you for loving me unconditionally.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.